Welcome to episode 4 of Wow Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Wednesday,
the
2nd
of October,
2013.
Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Welcome to WoW Geekly, the weekly World of Warcraft podcast with a streak of geek. And that streak of geek is on the end of the Skype line. How are you, Asheo?
Splendid. It is a fine Skype line, isn't it?
It is a fine Skype line. It seems like we're connected by a large piece of string.
Very taunt.
Taunt.
Mm.
Is that a word that means what you think it means? No.
Taut.
Taut. There's
extra
the
N, because I was going to tank the Skype line.
Taunt it off me.
That's right. I'm yanking it down this end, and I'm going to toss at you the question of the week. Of course, you knew it was going to come. What's special about the number 4, Jeppy?
You know what you've gone and done now, which I think is a little bit sneaky, is you've not put it in the show notes.
Ah, yeah.
So I can't prepare
some witticism
to come back at you with.
There's so many great things about the number 4. I mean, really. I mean, you could name a dozen off the top of your head, wouldn't you?
I don't know anything really about the number 4 itself. Sadly, I have no poop-related things to talk about. Which
you could do a golf joke.
I could do, yeah. 4 being F-O-R-E in that case.
Yeah.
Which I think comes from the military. Beware before! Beware before! That's what happens when artillerymen used to fire their weapons. And it got shortened to 4.
Yeah.
You don't actually hear it very often in golf anymore, which is a bit of a shame.
Oh, I love to yell it, because generally the balls that I hit go way off course, and so I'm constantly yelling that just in case someone on the next fairway is going to get hit.
So you don't do what I do and yell, get your heads down!
Duck!
You in the front! So apart from that silliness...
Yeah, I'll give it to you then. So if you pick any number, right, let's say pick the number 6... And
I'll pick my own number.
Sure.
It's like you're doing a card trick and you pick the card.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the number 8.
8. E-I-G-H-T. So there's how many letters in that? It's 5 letters in that, right? So then you go to 5, F-I-V-E. Okay. Yeah. How many letters are in that?
4.
4. F-O-U-R. How many letters in that? 4. You always get to 4. Doesn't matter what number you pick. You're always going to get to 4 and stay there.
What? No, that makes no sense. So, okay, let's try with 6 then. So 6 is
right,
3.
6. 6 is 3. T-H-R-E-E.
Yeah.
How many is
that? That's 8. Well, that's...
3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5. It was in 5.
That's yeah, no, but that's not... That's rubbish. only on single digit numbers then, I guess.
Well, no. Pick any number. It's all...
No chance. So if I'm saying, if I like, say, 168.
Yeah. All right.
No, I can't work it out.
160 E-I-G-H-T. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 1, 2, 23. Right down 23. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 3, 5, 4.
That's Harry Potter style. What the hell are you doing? Honestly, that is the maddest thing I've ever heard.
Is it? Oh, I'm sure there's much madder things.
Why is it, though? Is there no... Because it's not even numbers. It's the letters that we've used in our English language to spell them.
Well, this is true. It's actually because 4 is the smallest honest number. An honest number is a number that can be described using exactly N letters, where N is that number. So it's really the only number that uses the same number of letters that is the number. And that's called an honest number.
Okay. All right. I think actually you have impressed me this week.
Oh, thank God.
Although I'm going to have to say again, what a geek.
I'll take a little bow.
Four. Actually, no, I am. Actually, I'm going to use that. That's a party trick. I might have to use that. So, Shayo, apart from thinking about absolutely manic number things to try and vex me and probably keep me awake tonight, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to be lying there thinking, okay,
You'll pick a number.
2,197.
65,209.
Yeah,
Yeah.
drive me crazy. I imagine, apart from doing that, you've actually done some wow stuff.
I have done a little bit, yes, and even a little bit more than just the new to leap stuff that's coming up with you, which was exciting
I'm
and fun.
focusing on that.
So a couple of things. I did this with 5.4, and I've been trying it out to see whether I encounter any problems. I've bitten the bullet, and I'm going with one WoW install for both my accounts. Yeah.
Don't know
The
if I could do that.
Battle.net client just it essentially forced me to, because I couldn't use the Battle.net client with the second account that wasn't the same Battle.net. You can't change the game install folder to be something different, otherwise, because it changes both instances. And
Okay.
I wanted to use the Battle.net client on both accounts. And then, of course, you've got the double patching issue as well, having to patch them both.
This is your goal, to have one WoW folder, and then all the ancillary stuff, including the Battle.net, will feed from that folder.
That's right, yeah.
But you still have two Battle.net accounts.
I do, yeah. So I used to have just one folder, but the game install kept getting corrupted.
Yeah, I remember.
And I ended up having to separate them and run two different ones. So fingers crossed they've fixed those corruption problems and that I won't have that. And it's been a couple of weeks now and I haven't actually had any problems. So it's looking good. So I only need to patch once. I only need to install all my add-ons once. And of course, I'm using a crap ton less space on my SSD drive.
And the reason I don't have the same WoW folders is because when I log in, I don't want it to revert to the last time I logged in. When it
The
logs in.
login name.
Yeah.
Well, it only actually remembers the first account. So when I launch the second Battle.net client, I always have to put in my full username password.
Yeah.
Because it can only remember one.
Also, the other reason I didn't, I mean, I have had a ridiculous amounts of accounts running at the same time, and I've never gone down the route of having one folder for every single one that I might ever run. Well, actually, that's not true. I have done that. And the reason for that is because when I was setting things up in various add-ons, and particularly when you're multi-boxing, you can allocate the exe file to a core. To a particular core, you know, so it doesn't overlap, and it's making most of the efficient use. And you obviously can't do that if you've got
If it's
more
the
than just
same
one
one, that's right, yeah.
folder.
Well,
I don't know.
it seems to be multitasking pretty well. I mean, my machine's pretty new, so just running two's not causing it any issues at all. So are you not using the Battle.net client on all your instances? Or are you just focused on one
No.
account at the moment?
I'm going straight to the WoW.exe. I'm not
Right.
using the Battle.net account.
Yep.
Not, I haven't tried it with this new machine, and I imagine it will have no problems. But it was having all sorts of problems with the old machine. Whatever it was doing was causing crashes in WoW, which I'd never experienced before. So I don't know what that was. But I will do. The only thing, of course, is I want the situation now where I can launch several instances of WoW from the same Battle.net account.
Yeah, well, you can do that. The Battle.net client supports that. It was just that I've got two different Battle.net accounts.
Yeah, no, but doesn't I thought that if I say I've got the same Battle.net account in effect, the Battle.net account's attached, although there are several instances of WoW attached to that. So when I launch one, I launch say I've got one called WoW 1 on that one the Battle.net account, I've got another one called WoW 2 on the same Battle.net account. If I launch WoW 1 on one Battle.net account on one computer, and then I go and launch WoW 2 on the other computer on that Battle.net account, it logs out one of the Battle.nets.
Yeah.
Which is a pain.
It is that there is that.
my concern is that there will be a certain point where they say, okay, it's mandatory to go via the backup.
Yeah. I'm a little worried about that myself.
Yeah, and I don't like that at all. Because it will stop multiboxing altogether. It will actually, what it will mean is I will have to then go ahead and separate these off onto different battle nets, which defeats the whole object of what I've been moving toward anyway. So
yeah. We shall see. Yeah, hopefully that won't screw that up.
Were you just taking the mickey out of my I don't like that? Did you just do an effeminate I don't like that? Jeez, mate. Mm. Hey. Wow, this isn't the duvet cave.
Oh,
can't take the mickey out of me.
Okay. All right, I'll try to avoid that.
Talking of which, let's just send out our love and good wishes to Strumpet. And I might try and keep this in the edit.
we give props and shout outs to Strumpet every week, and you just keep cutting it out.
I know.
Oh my God,
I'm such a jealous. A jealous person that I can't have other people being praised no over props. And above me.
Yeah, I hope she doesn't get her burnout pending. She needs to power through it.
Well, if I ever get around to editing the nearly 17-hour conversation we had the other night that was forming the episode 3 of the Duvet Cave,
episode 3A, 3B, and 3C.
I think it's going to have to be split, actually, because we did do a good hour on WoW. We did do probably an hour and a half on the new TV shows that are hitting for the full season. And we slotted in a little bit about zombies and Final Fantasy as well.
Gee whiz. So
it's an epic episode. It's going to require me to edit the whole thing together. Actually, what it's going to require me to do is top and tail it. Slap it out on the internet and see what gets.
Too
what
hard
sticks.
To edit that. What?
Well, I don't know. I did moan this morning about the joy of podcasting coupled with the hell of editing and the fact that the editing process pretty much sucks a donkey's nut.
Oh, you're loving the editing.
Oh, jeez.
You love it when I cough and you have to edit that out.
You'll
be gone. No. It's awesome.
Actually, having listened to your edit effort last week, I'm going to be far more relaxed this week.
Oh!
If that was acceptable, then I've been doing it wrong.
Jeez. I spent hours and hours on that.
I can't believe how. I don't understand. What were you doing? No, it was a very good job, and I need to stop being so OCD about the whole thing, really. Because I sit there, I listen to the breaths. I like, okay, he's had one, two. Okay, he's got, now I can cut out that 5 seconds, whatever. So it gets a bit crazy.
Good Lord. You're crazy.
I'm not doing that this week.
Anyway, back to content. A bit of a profession follow-up from 5.4. I mentioned how the enchants scale down. It still seems to be, I don't know whether people just didn't read release notes or if they did, they forgot and all confused. I keep seeing stuff all over the place, you know, trade chat, guild chat, wherever. It's like, what have they done to this enchant? Because it's supposed to be this many agility, but I look at it and it only's got this many. Somebody else will go, what do you mean? It says 140 for me. You're nuts.
Different levels.
Different levels. Yeah, the tooltip changes and scales for what level you are.
Do you think they'd be used to that with heirlooms, though? I don't understand.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, maybe they're not used to looking at that for heirlooms. And the other thing that I didn't realize that I didn't see in the release notes anywhere, the gems scale as well. I was like,
it's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm not quite sure what. So
that far, two markets completely screwed then.
Yeah, I don't know how far they've taken it, though, because I haven't really done much with dual crafting at all in 5.4. So I'm not really sure of the extent of that. So if anybody's got some insider knowledge on what they've done with gem scaling, let us know.
It doesn't bode well for the future.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I don't mind it.
What it is,
the problem
at level one. Now listen, stop interrupting. At level one, you go along, you choose your spec.
Yep.
You buy your gear.
Yep.
You enchant it and you gem it.
No, you don't.
And then you never touch it again. It just grows as you grow. There's, that's hideous.
That'll never happen.
Can't I?
No. No.
I think that's what they're working towards. They're working towards gear for life.
Oh. I don't
if, it'll be, it'll be gear for life. This is what it'll be. Gear for life. No. And the only everything else will be cosmetic. It'll all be transmog. And actually, what drops in dungeons is transmog.
All my gems to have different sparkles on them.
Yeah, definitely need that. Mm. But I can see that happening. That's my prediction. Stick that on the board, as they say on the Bitter and Salty podcast.
We'll write that down somewhere. Not on the board. We'll have to write it down in your post. Write down the post-it note.
Okay.
Stick that to your monitor.
My monitor.
Yep.
Yeah, next to my password.
Next to your password. Yep. Jolly good show. So I've been pursuing my goal of being able to do the Celestial Pet Tournament this week. I have actually managed to level quite a few pets, including Strumpet will be happy to know, my Gilnian Raven. And I called him Heckle, and he's now Jekyll's new pet. So we've got Heckle and Jekyll. Wasn't that a great cartoon? Did you watch that?
Yes. I think I may have seen a few episodes of that.
Indubitably. And more excitingly, I got my Pandaren Water Spirit off the water dude, the flowing...
The auction house?
No, I actually got it from the daily.
Yeah, why bother?
Because I'm using him to level pets.
Yeah, but they sell. They sell them on the auction house.
Oh, I know. But... Yeah.
That was a waste of a bit of effort. You could have mined and herbed and got the money together and bought it.
No, but I'm leveling other pets while I'm doing him.
Okay.
So if I had have leveled all my other pets that I needed and he hadn't dropped one, well, then I would have went and bought one on the auction house.
Yeah, okay. So you were there for other reasons. You weren't there to get the pet.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
But now you've told me they sell well, I'm going to go back and get another one and sell it.
Actually, I think I had... somebody very nice, I hate to say that, I don't remember who, it may have been Kitty Fox or it may have been Voltandra, send me one. Somebody sent me one, I think.
Very nice.
Yeah. That seems to have stopped now that we left Core. I'm not getting the stuff in the mail like I used to, so I don't know.
Well, you need to come along for some Friday night action. Get into that.
I keep meaning to, and unfortunately, it just falls in such a weird position in the night. It's like 3 a.m. my time.
Oh, go to bed early.
If I'm, it is now going to bed early though.
I'll give you a wake up call.
Yeah, I may try and do that. See how it goes. Hmm. I certainly wouldn't mind have done some of that Time's Isle stuff. That's what I should have done.
Yeah, so I've been actually doing a bit of grinding. I finally got to the grind point where I'm trying to have to get the rep up this week. So I've been grinding away on my druid at the Timeless Isle. And I think from Hulong, I dropped a quivering firestorm egg.
Eesh.
And the tool tip on it says, so such and such over at the Arbitorium would be really fascinated by that egg. Why don't you go and talk to them about it? I went, oh, all right then. So I flew on over to the Arbitorium and found the NPC I was supposed to find. And went, here you go. How about this egg, eh? And they went, oh, hey, yeah, that's awesome. Here's some gold. I'm like, oh, that's pretty crappy. What's going on here? And I went and looked at it on Wowhead. And it's to give you rep with the cloud serpents.
Oh, yeah.
But Jekyll's already exalted with the cloud serpents.
Oh.
Like,
in the teeth.
Yeah, thanks for that. And it is Battle.net bound. So... I could have sent it to Roll just to make it worse.
How much rep did you lose?
What, 2,000 with the commendation?
And did you get more gold because you weren't taking
the I don't know. Rep? I don't know whether maybe you don't get gold at all if you're not exalted. Maybe it's the rep or the gold. And it's like, oh man.
See, this is your whole problem, and this is where you need a good slap. Check it first. Don't go as soon as you get something that you don't really know what's going on in your bag.
Go and check it out again.
To Wowhead.
No. No. Yeah. This is the whole let's figure out what's going on in the game without having to go out to Wowhead.
What you just figured out is that you lost 2,000 rep, mate.
Well,
that's what you figured out.
What I figured out was that I won't do that again, and now I'm telling other people that you know, might fall for the same trap.
Oh, so
I have to
poke it, your poke it and see attitude towards the gamers.
I have to take a fall for the listeners. Basically, what it is I have to make a fool of myself and trip over stuff so I can tell other people not to do that.
You took a rep bullet.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I suppose we should applaud your civil spirit.
Thanks, mate.
Was the WoW community. With one hand, I'm applauding, and with the other hand, I'm doing the wanker sign because you should have gone and checked first.
Holding up the big L on your forehead.
That's right, yeah.
And the other thing that I didn't do was take my own advice and check my glyphs. Have I mentioned?
Oh,
check your glyphs.
You did mention.
Check your glyphs. So I haven't even checked my glyphs on my druid that I raid on. I've been doing all this LFR and healing my little heart out. And I'd even had on my notes, check your glyphs. And I've told people, check your glyphs. And I failed to do it. I didn't look at my glyphs. And when I finally did, because I actually did some flex raiding last week, and I'm looking at my DPS recount as to where all my heals were coming from, and then looking at the other druid that was in the flex raid that was doing double my heals and where all his heals were coming from, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like completely way off. What's going on here? So I'm looking at my talents and I see the talents look all right. And I look at my glyphs. Ah, look at that. I'm only using two glyphs. I'm actually missing a glyph completely. I don't know what used to be there, but obviously the glyph that doesn't exist in 5.4.
Just got whipped out.
Just whipped out. Whoosh, gone.
Not in the good.
Yeah. So I think...
Oh, I wish somebody had spotted that on one of those checker things.
Oh, yeah. And then sent me a tweet. Hey, noob.
Yeah.
Noob. But it did prompt me to refresh and go and have another bit of a look at druid healing and come up to speed on that. Because I knew that... That there was the mushrooms. You probably don't know about the mushrooms. I don't know if you've actually ever played a druid, but druids used to have this thing where you put down three mushrooms. You can stick them anywhere, slap them all over the place, stick down three mushrooms, and then they'd eventually bloom and you'd blow them up and you either heal stuff if you're a healer or your DPS stuff do damage if you're a DPS.
Yeah.
And they've changed that now. It's for Resto, it's just a single mushroom that lasts for 5 minutes, and you can actually, the way that you're charging it is from overheals on rejuvenation. So you know, it used to be that overheals were like completely wasted. If you're popping instant hots onto people and you're overhealed, it didn't go anywhere. But now it's charging up this mushroom that you can explode and use. So that's a really good. Yeah, it adds a bit of complexity. It's a nice change. Adds some extra heals.
Because druids need a bit more complexity, don't they?
Well, it's funny, but yes, they do. When you look at, I've been playing a monk healer, and I think they're a lot more. They've got a lot more spells and a lot more complexity and things to think about and look at and possibilities than what druids did. I was almost down to a pretty set routine, and to have a shot rotation in healing doesn't make sound like it actually makes much sense, but Resto druids were kind of like that. I was almost down to a shot rotation for my heals. And so to add those things and to add some other effects, there's a new spell called Genesis, which speeds up the, so if you're putting out the rejuvenation, which is an instant hot that lasts for like 10 or 11 seconds. There's a Genesis spell now that will speed that up by 400%. So it basically almost consumes it instantly. It only take another second or so and it'll consume it. So that's really good if you know that there's going to be some damage going out. You stick a hot on a whole bunch of people and then cast Genesis, you're going to give them all decent heals quickly rather than over that 11-second period. So it's kind of an alternative to Tranquility if your Tranquility's down. So there's some nice changes, and I like what they've done there. So I'm enjoying my little druid, flexing his little heart out.
I imagine there's many tree huggers nodding their heads vigorously as you say all that.
Yeah.
I've only ever played, I played a druid, but I've always played, never, always DP, you know, always DPS druid, whatever that is.
Yeah.
The cat, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't know if you've, one change I guess they've stuck it in there because monks can do it. One of the things that always annoyed me that I didn't really use it all that much, you know, you can teleport to Moonglade and there's like a trainer there and other things are there. And so if your hearth's down, you could always teleport to Moonglade and repair or sell stuff, clean your bags out, do whatever you wanted to do. But it was always a bugger because then you'd have to, like, you'd fly back down to Orgrimmar or somewhere. Well, they've actually changed it. Teleport Moonglade actually is now a two-way trip. When you're in Moonglade, you can click it again and go back to where you were.
Oh,
awesome.
That's quite useful.
Yeah, yeah. Super useful now.
Yeah.
So I'm loving that.
Because I used to go out to Moonglade and get completely lost trying to find the flight dude.
Yeah.
It would drive me mad running around that place. Because apart from the odd pet and loads of trees and, you know, airy fairy music, there's sod all else there.
Yeah. As far as I can tell. And you go out there once a year for the, which world event is it?
It's the one with the elders, isn't it?
It's the elders? It is the elders, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
those red envelopes and stuff.
And the other glyph that I was actually going to put in, when I saw it in the patch notes, I thought, oh, fantastic, that's great. They've added a glyph of fae silence. So when you do your fairy fire, they've changed it so if you do a fairy fire on a mob, in addition to what fairy fire does, it also silences them. And I'm like, oh, fantastic, because the one thing that I really miss having on my resto druid is some sort of interrupt or a silence. So I thought, that's great. I'm going to be grabbing that glyph. Went to have a look at it, and glyph of fire silence. When in bear form, it will do this. And I'm like, ah, oh, you bastards. Like,
I thought you could only do fairy fire in non-animal form.
No, there's two.
Bear version.
There's two different versions. Or there was, maybe there's, because I haven't played a bear in yonks. Maybe it's all just one now.
It used to drive me mad being in cat form or bear form and then having to come out.
Right.
To do any sort of spells.
They've actually relaxed that quite a lot now. I mean, you can even heal when you're in Boomkin form. It used to be
What's the animation look like, though? What does the animation look like of a bear doing fairy stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd
have to switch into a bear to have a look. But it used to be we were like Shadow Priest, right? If a Shadow Priest casts a healing spell, they come out of shadow form. You know, it was the same with Boomkins. You cast a heal and you come out of Boomkin form. Well, it doesn't do that anymore. So they're all nice changes. Lovely.
Well, no. It's obviously a long time since I've done the druid as well, so I should check that out because that was a very annoying thing. And what I ended up doing is going balance and staying in form, staying in as a tauren or whatever.
Yep.
So I couldn't be arsed flicking back and forth.
Yeah, there is that. It just means your DPS sucks.
Oh no, I don't care.
You don't care. Fair enough.
Yeah, because there was 12 of me. It wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
My DPS on the one may have sucked, but because of the other four dudes that were also, balanced, that's fine. It's funny how multi-boxing makes you not give a crap about individual DPS.
Alrighty, so that's pretty much me for this week, apart from the stuff we've done together, a bit of LFR, etc. Which, by the way, I'll tell you what, mate, the things I do for you, I'm sitting here looking at the satchel of cosmic mysteries that I would get if I queued up for LFR right now because they're desperate for healers. But no, I'll focus and listen to what you've got to tell me.
I don't understand. Why? Oh, you mean you'd rather be doing that than the podcast?
Oh, no. I mean, I did both, you know, a podcast, but heal and LFR at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't give a great lot of dedication to either, so both suffer.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I am the jack of all trades and master of none, so you get what you're given.
Yeah, so my week is obviously going to be covered in the noob delete section as we said at the beginning.
Well, why don't we jump into some Noble to Elite then?
It's time for Noob to Elite.
That was a lovely introduction from Lita. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thanks, Lita.
So, Noob to Elite. This week, we did manage to drag Jeppy into some dungeons.
Yeah, kicking and screaming.
We have a bit of a surprise at the start of this little segment that we're going to play for you, though. Because as we did announce, the plan was to level our toons over on Airy Peak, on the Our Alliance toons. And that's indeed how we started off. Not everything went to plan, I've got to say.
Nope.
Not exactly. Wasn't exactly panning out how we expected it to.
Nope. We were the only buggers on there.
So why don't we have a listen to what happened? Okay, let's press play. Bloop. We're now in the Storm Stout Brewery. And we had such fun on Alliance side that we decided that we didn't want to do that anymore. It was a bit sad. But what really happened was we had trouble getting groups. We figured we'd be over in the Convert to Raid community and we'd be able to get some groups pretty easily. But even primetime Saturday night, we didn't get any interest at all in getting some groups together for 85 to 90s. And I guess, you know, everybody's at the moment is out in the Timeless Isle and doesn't want to do any of this 85 to 90 stuff. So we thought, well, and the other thing, of course, was poor old Jeppy was feeling the call of the horde and the fact that he was having to actually spend money to buy glyphs and enchants.
I know. I spent like 600 gold on glyphs.
Terrible.
What's all that about?
Yeah. So we decided we'd come back to good old Earthen Ring and run some dungeons over here. And I had to think about, well, what's the best way to ensure that we can... Because so what happened over on the Alliance was that we did actually get a couple of groups and we ran Temple of the Jade Serpent. Was it that one? Yeah. A couple of times.
Twice.
But the issue we had was that invariably with a pug group, the tanks kind of come in two flavours. Either they're really sucky and dial up, and all they're a douche for some reason, or they're super confident and they just want to go. Which, for Jeppy, trying to learn his warlock, not the greatest situation to have. We wanted to take it slow and look around and drink some beers, and that just wasn't happening. So we've decided to put our groups together ourselves.
Yeah. Friendly folk.
Friendly folk that don't want to rush and don't mind if we're complete noobs and wipe a lot. And so in order to make the dungeons go nice and slow and structured and have a look around, I've made the sacrifice of being the tank.
Sacrifice.
It is a sacrifice. I hate tanking.
You're funny.
I hate tanking.
Well, hopefully you'll be better than the douchebags we've had so far.
So I do have an 85 Death Knight that could tank, but he's not currently geared as a tank. And I'm very rusty as a tank. So I don't have any confidence at all in tanking on my 85. Added to which, our healer for tonight is none other than the lovely Kamoli.
Yay.
And she's on her priest healing us and feeling somewhat rusty as well. So I'm actually on a level 90 tank. You may as well be 85 for all the good it's doing us. But I guess I've just got a little bit extra health. She'll be a bit easier to keep me alive and heal Jeppy's warlock at the same time. How are you finding it so far, mate? A bit bit slower, a bit tamer.
I foolishly, very foolishly, apart from the fact that I wasn't able to transmog and I feel like a complete mess, so there's that to contend with. I foolishly changed how I target about 20 minutes before we came in here, and I'm not got the muscle memory down just yet.
Okay.
So I keep pressing the button that I used to target with.
Not the tab. Not the tab button.
Tab button is all the way over the other side of the keyboard. No, I use a G13 and a WoW mouse.
Well, look at you.
So I used to target on the G13 one key, on the action bar one key, but now I'm using the WoW mouse to target. But of course, I keep pressing the one key to target, and the one key is actually now incinerate or immolate even, and so it ain't working, is it?
I'm sure the muscle memory will come quick and fast.
Yes, it will, because...
So we're actually in... we couldn't queue up randomly, because I am 90. We've had to manually select the dungeons. And we're running Stormstout Brewery. Ground pound, move away. Okay. Nah, I'm the tank. I'm not going to move away.
I didn't realise those freaking barrels hit you.
Oh, yeah. You don't get hit by the barrels. You want to jump on them.
Yep.
Oh, I'm stunned. Oopsie. There's something going wrong here because I thought tanking, all I had to do was go blood boil, blood boil, blood boil, and keep stunning me. Blood tap, so blood boil. See, I need to... See, I'm not even depleting my runes because I've got 12 stacks of blood tap and I can't tap because I don't have any depleted runes.
Ook, ook. It's the first one.
This is the first boss.
I find it hard to tell what the boss is and what aren't the bosses because they all seem to be hitting me hard.
And along for the ride with us tonight is Muella. Munich tonight is a hunter. And the lovely Eludra, who's come on her paladin. DPS in
their
little hearts out.
Oh, it's the dance. I like the dance. Oh, please tell me you didn't run off again. Were you?
Oh. No, no. Sorry, I haven't moved
anywhere. In the books. Who's that?
All of us. I think we're all on the quest.
What?
Well, like I said, I might be level 90, but I don't remember how I got this dude to 90, but it certainly wasn't through dungeons and doing the dungeon quests.
Pet battles, by the sound of it.
So I think we're all ninjuring the books.
Oh, this is where I got locked out last time.
I was up the ramp, yeah, to the second boss.
Molly's seriously good healing as far as I can tell.
Molly says she's rusty, which means she needs a good 30 seconds to get fully back up to speed again. I think I'll just switch to my 85 one in DPS gear after this and have her heal me on that.
Somebody's pet's out here as well.
Oh, really? Pet got locked out. Nice. That's
harsh. Need pets out here.
Guess I could use some of my cooldowns. Bone shield! See, I've got them all out of my bar. But there's so many of them, I don't remember what they all do. Here comes some vermin and carrot breath. Smash! Yay! Fell down.
You think it's worth raising me, to be honest?
Yeah. And we're going to do this. We're going to do this again, and we're going to make damn sure that you run through that door before it closes.
That's just crazy talk. Have you gone somewhere else now?
Yeah, keep going. Run.
But where to? Oh my god! I figured you being at level 90, I could just sit back and read a paper. But oh, what the hell's this?
What new hell is this? Keep forgetting to put up my Horn of Winter. I need Spell Flash on this turn, don't I?
I need Spell Dew.
Alrighty. The tasting room. There'll be some trash in here, and then a boss with a couple of variations. So it'll be interesting to see which one we get, and whether I can remember the mechanics.
Is this trash?
Yeah, this is just trash.
It's big trash?
Yeah, big trash that keeps knocking me away. Oh, cast Bloat on me.
I think I might have done some DPS on that last one. Is it too late to choose Hunter?
Yep.
Really? Yep. I think if we added up the votes properly, I would have at least got a Shadow Priest.
Oh, die, you little bastard. There we go. What are we going to get?
You've got to love how that Chaos Bolt looks. It looks absolutely brutal, doesn't it?
So how are you going building up your Burning Embers? You getting a feel for it?
Nah, I went back to Demonology. No, I'm not getting a feed for it, really. But I'm going to actually pick up a lot more out in the world.
Now we've got the boss. Yanzu, the uncasked. So there's two different fights. There's one where you have to get in bubbles and fly up off the ground, and there's other ones where a wave spew goes across the ground. You have to jump over it in two directions.
Ever have to just tank and
spew? Oh, it's bubbles. There we go. Jump in a... Go and click on a bubble. Click on a bubble and jump in the air.
Is that helping me? How's that? What's that doing?
Because if you're on the ground, you're going to be taking a lot of damage.
Oh, I see. Oh, geez. Bubble burst.
I've taken out the ads, so don't worry about the boss at the moment. Take out these little yeasty ads. Die, little bastards. Okay, I think we've got all of those. Now we can switch back to the boss.
Oh, yeah, switch back to the boss, okay.
You attacked the boss the whole time, didn't you?
Pretty much.
So in that particular case, it didn't do any harm apart from taking a lot longer to get the ads down. But in other cases, it can be really bad to be DPSing the boss when you're not supposed to.
Oh, that's what I haven't done. I haven't done my deadly boss mods.
Ah, yeah, you want to get your deadly boss mods.
Knew that was something I had to do. I was so distraught about ending up in Silvermoon that I forgot all about it.
I can't believe that you transferred a toon back rather than use another warlock.
It was an orc. Yay.
Yeah. Plate. Healer plate, though.
Fizzy spaulders. What the... okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
No.
What?
We're doing at least one more. Temple of the Jade Serpent.
No. Honest to God, it's almost like you want me to learn. So I can already feel. What's that other thing I need? The one that alarms while I'm standing in crap?
GTFO. Well, the deadly boss mods will do a reasonable job telling you that you're being a dumbass. Okay, so we're back in... Jade, who's a Majubi? And we're about to have another go at Wise Mari. And Jeppy's going to actually come into the room this time.
Yeah, I'm in already.
And he's going to look out for a big water elemental that rises out of the deep. Are you standing in the bad stuff, Kushti?
I don't know. What's the bad stuff? This gorgeous blue stuff.
Yeah, that gorgeous blue stuff, yeah.
I thought bad stuff was always red.
No.
Oh, what?
In this case, the bad stuff is blue.
If you're going to change the rules, you really need to tell me.
Bubble burst in 4 seconds.
We're attacking the boss now?
Yeah, so now we attack the boss and make sure we don't get hit by his big water spurt.
Oh, no. I hate that water spurt.
Like that. Look at that. Kushti's gone for a fly.
Yeah, but I can't move and fight. That's ridiculous.
Are you starting to see a pattern to what Spell Flash is telling you to do?
Spell Flash? Yeah, kind of, yeah, yeah.
Talk that off,
see, I made a mistake, really, because normally I would have my main spell being Shadow Bolt, is something that I fill in with. And so I have that on my main mouse button. I need to sort that out, really. Because Chaos Bolt is dependent on these embers, isn't it?
It is. But, I mean, that's not your filler. I mean, your filler is Incinerate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I probably need to move Incinerate over to the 12, to the main bounce.
To where Shadow Bolt was for your demonology. Well, that's how you build up your Burning Embers.
Yeah.
Now, look at that. I found the Taunt button. Dark Command. I knew it was up there somewhere.
Now, that has to have been the last boss, surely.
Surely that was the second boss.
What? Just went on forever.
That's what she said.
Don't Blizzard know that we've got other stuff to do?
Like what?
Gotta go and sort out this freaking awful hat. Drive me insane. It looked quite good on the gnome.
So I like this. So we're clearing the trash for the third boss. And unlike the...
Pulling it all in the middle.
And the tanks for the two pug groups we did, they just pulled the entire room. Wasn't impressed with that.
Really? We killed all your ads.
All right. Lie, flame heart. Feel the wrath of my icy touch. I've got interrupts as a tank as well, don't I? I should probably remember when to use those. Oh no, Kushti, don't die. Oh,
what?
First death. First death.
How did that happen?
You're in the poo.
Oh,
see,
really?
Green's bad as well.
Ah, oh, for goodness sake. Choose a
red's
colour
bad,
and stick to it.
Blue's bad. Green's bad. Do you have scrolling combat text?
No.
So like if you...
Oh, yeah.
If well, you're doing damage and stuff, it scrolls up numbers on the screen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for example, if you're standing in some green stuff and there's all these big red negative numbers scrolling up the screen...
And your point is?
As your health is going down, down, down. That's usually a good tip that you want to move away from wherever you're currently standing.
I'm not being funny, right? But I'm trying to eat an omelette. Yeah, I do see all those minus red numbers, but I figured that was something you were doing.
What? I'm attacking you. Oh, damn you, little warlock.
I did think it was a little bit off, but...
Yeah.
First dungeon, you went and you tried to kick me, so...
Alrighty, Sharved out. Last boss. Remember this one?
No.
Spread out, DPS him, he goes into shadow.
A carpet. Yeah.
A copy of us comes out, and we group up and AoE him down.
Does that mean I'm going to have to see a shadow version with this awful hat?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Ah, lordy, lordy.
Can I transmog the shadow version that's attacking me?
Yeah. Oh, I could have stayed behind that door. So stupid.
Blood tap. Blood boil. Yep, he's got immune again.
He seems angry again.
No doubt. Yeah, healer's doing an awesome job.
There's no mana. Yay!
Oh, there's that staff again. Got it.
Oh, that's annoying because I came all the way. I paid $50 to come here so I could get the staff. Oh my goodness. Wow. That was significant fun. Oh my goodness me.
Excellent day.
Let's not do that again.
All right. Well, the next goal is to get to 87 so that we can do. Mogoshan Palace, Shadowpan Monastery.
Okay.
You must be close to 86 now.
Two-thirds bubbles. So there's nothing at 86 then?
No, there's no. These are the only two you can do until 87. So what are you going to do? Are you going to do some questing, or are you just going to go out and hit stuff?
Pet battles.
To get a feel for it? No. Pet battles are banned on that character.
What? So, yes. So, I'm sure you were overwhelmed by my joy in that situation. I think I must have said things like, surely this is the last boss.
There was a bit of that.
Way too many times.
Yeah.
I have to... I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going to be completely comfortable going into dungeons. And having anybody other than myself depend upon me. Not that it seemed that they depended upon me too much in these particular dungeons, because even when I got locked out of places, it was like, no.
Still got to go through it.
Yeah, so.
No, but seriously, there was at no point at all where I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, what have I got myself in for? This guy cannot play at all. To me, you were just another player. You're doing your job. There was no stupidity. You're doing really good DPS. You shouldn't be feeling self-conscious at all, seriously.
I think I feel uncomfortable to a certain degree because what I need to do, and I was saying this on the Duvet Cave, is I need to relax a little bit more and not. I get very tense. I'm like, you know, and I'm all clenched up.
That. No, it's
no, no.
It's all there for fun and joy.
Yeah, and I think actually I will play a lot better when I do feel a bit more comfortable, be able to stand back a little bit, and not necessarily. When I'm using that spell flash, and when the spell flash goes off, I'm jumping to it. But actually,
oh god, I gotta press the button! I gotta press the button!
Yeah, and what the spell flash does. Is it will occasionally give you two options. One of them will be Rain of Fire, and the other one will be a particular, you know, casting spell.
Yep.
And I try and do both, which of course you can't do because of the cooldown. And then neither of them work because it's interrupting itself and, you know, all the malarkey that goes on with that. And then I get completely frustrated because as far as I'm concerned, I've just missed a huge chunk of DPS. And, yeah, so I'm getting all frustrated. But what I have been doing is going out in the world and at my leisure.
A bit of casual.
Yeah, a bit of casual. Targeting just the one mob and then going through my rotation, making sure the mob's high enough so that you're able to try and, you know, you're able to get through several spells rather than just killing it instantly. And that way I'm getting the muscle memory. Because I don't think if it was just dungeon, I would ever get the actual muscle memory, because what I would be doing is flailing around the keyboard as opposed to rotating, which is what I'm building up now.
That's fair enough. But it will come. I promise you.
It will get to a point.
Where you do feel comfortable with it. It's so much better running with friends and not having to charge through a full speed pug where the tank says go, 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 and you've got no chance to stop and breathe and relax a bit. Then they're not fun.
Yeah. I have to say, it's been a very expensive business, though, because I transfer... I was trying to think of the history of this particular warlock and how many times he, she, it has jumped from server to server and faction to faction, and race to race. And name to name, I can't think of how many different names that she's had. At least six, I think. So it's become... Actually, I probably spent more on this one character than I've spent on the entire game. No, probably not. But a big chunk of money. I mean,
so needless to say, Blizzard pretty happy with you on this warlock.
Yeah. Actually, when I went on to the transfer, the character transfer service, it said, what, again? The crying orc came up and said,
Did it give you a bulk discount?
I deserve a bulk discount. I've given... I was looking through my PayPal account and my credit card bill, and it's Blizzard, GoDaddy, Podbean. And I was like, what the hell? I'm so glad that my wife doesn't get to see my accounts, because she'd be caving my head in with a ball hammer by now. Crazy stuff. Not good. But anyway, I think it was definitely a good decision. I did feel... We both agreed that it would be nice to go through the Alliance Pandaria experience, and it would be nice to perhaps see some of the upcoming content from the Alliance eyes. But actually, having played Horde for so long and becoming much more ingrained in the Horde way of doing things, and also having been on Irvin Ring, where I'm sure each realm has its idiosyncrasies and its goods and its bads, but I feel at home on Irvin Ring.
Right.
I can't explain it really, but
yeah. No, I'm with you there.
And I've been able to put Kushti the Warlock back into Cloud of Darkness, and that's been fun talking to the people via the chit chat while I've been doing bits and pieces.
Plus, you get to do the repairs out of the guild bank, so that made it all worthwhile.
Well, yeah, that's it. It does. Yeah, it sounds silly, and it perhaps is, but every 10, 15 gold that I was spending over on AVP, I was going, I can't. This is ridiculous. I can't believe that I'm having to spend my own money
for to repair my own gear.
the damage I damaged. Yeah, no, it does. It feels like coming home, and I'm glad that we've done that. And I hope that will help us go forward on Noob to Elite. Now, the Warlock itself, I'm going to be honest. When we were talking about doing this project, I was pretty dead set that if I was ever going to get to know a class inside and out, it would be a hunter. Now, I played a hunter as a main. If I have a main, I guess my hunter is the main for 6 years.
Long time,
but never having had to really put it under any stress, not done any group content to any stretch, and soloing. Even soloing, not to any stretch, because normally there's at least two of us out there, at least two of my characters running around. You don't have the same necessity to learn what goes with what combinations work, the procs, and how best to exploit those. Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you mean. My hunter's the same way.
Yeah, and you're killing stuff fast enough. You know, it's not like you're being killed all the time. Things are going okay, so there's just no need to change.
If it does look like you're going to die, you just pretend to die and...
Yeah.
Raise
yeah.
your pit. Lots, carry on.
Lots of folk fat bands. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Where we go.
And so when, like I said, when we're sitting up to do this project, I thought, well, you know, it'd be a hunter then. But having experienced leveling warlocks in Pandaria and then subsequently putting them on my farm to till, I thought, well, I enjoyed the warlock leveling process as demonology. So obviously we asked people to vote and decide which class I played, and turned out to be warlock, even though that's kind of what we decided. And then you said, then you went, well, you know, that's all well and good, but demonology, that's not the spec you need in dungeons. That ain't going to pull it. It's all well and good having all those demons, but, you know, you want to be chucking out some proper high DPS. And then I was like, oh, sod this. I don't pull it.
I want to go back to Hunter.
And then he said, what was it? Destruction? And then you were saying there was some dots and there were some procs and there was these combinations. And
you have to build up burning embers.
And then there's a resource to manage.
It's hell.
I will put my hand on my heart and said that I was going to fake an illness and not come back to the Wow Geekly podcast for several weeks until you'd forgotten about the whole thing. As it turns out, and this happens a lot more often than I'd like to admit, as it turns out, you were actually right. And I know, it's shocking. And the Destro Warlock, the Destruction Warlock, is the butts nuts, the dog's bollocks. It really is. And I think that initial oof learning curve, I don't think I can understand this. I don't like to mess with resources. I'm not sure how these burning embers are building and why sometimes they build and sometimes they don't build. Once you start to tackle those things, and I've been doing it piecemeal, like, first of all, I wanted to work out what my fill spell was, what my big spell was, what my 20% health spell was. You know, there's things that fit into each class.
Yep.
My interrupt, my, you know, stun. You know, it has all those. Once I started building up that and then getting a rotation in, things are really coming together.
It starts to click.
It does. And the only thing that... having now taken the class a wee bit more seriously and understanding that it isn't just a case of muscle memory rotation, you also have to take into account situational things that are happening and make sure you understand your priorities. It's all well and good knowing that your shadow burn will do a crap ton of damage when the mob goes below 20%, but it will also... requires burning embers. It also requires, you know, for you to be able to, if you need to, send a couple of shadow burns over. So you may want to have three or four burning embers.
You want to save them up for the end of the fight.
Yeah. So there's all that. And
good balance.
It is, yeah. So what I've been doing is messing around with the UI, because what I found, particularly in those early dungeons, and it wasn't held by the fact that when I first was doing the dungeons, I was a gnome and I could hardly see what was going on. But in those early dungeons, I didn't understand anything. I didn't understand what was going on. But, you know, stuff was, you quite rightly said, get spell flash to get an idea of the rotation, which I did do. But everything was flashing.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a 747 going down.
Yeah, and by default, you're not only getting the spell flash flashes light up, the default Blizzard UI will flash proc.
Yeah, yeah. So it was all kicking off, and I was getting thoroughly confused by the whole thing. What I've done now is I've taken the main procs, the ones that I really need to understand when they're available, and put them into the UI. And I've been using... Well, I started off using this Weak Auras add-on,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I find incredibly interesting and complex. I mean,
because I used to use Power Auras, and I kept that got discontinued, and I kept meaning to look into the new one or the replacement that people are using, and just never got there. Kind of keeps getting pushed off my priority list. So if you tell me it's good, then it might climb up my list again.
Yeah, I would say it's very good. It has just an absolute crap ton of things you can alter, mess around with. And you could spend hours upon hours upon hours, literally, which I have done, getting the perfect alarm, like for Shadowburn. You want to know when your Shadowburn is available, but you also want to know at the same time how many embers you have.
Yeah.
So you could do this. You can do multi-states and all sorts of other things, and it will bring up a graphic in the center of your screen. It will send off a sound, so you know when to hit things and when to use them optimally.
Did you have a look to see if anyone had actually already done one for Destruction Warlocks?
After playing around for quite a while, I did go on various websites, including, I think Icy Veins has some, and Noxic has a few as well, and get hold of the script. They do these, it's like this massive long string that you can import into your weak ores. I did do that, but what was great about doing that, and I advise everybody to do that, is then you can actually go back into the UI for that particular add-on and see what they've set.
You can
then say to yourself, well, okay, I like that. They've obviously used this particular graphic and this particular sound, but I can change those.
The basics
of the trigger and what it's based upon and the state and all that type of thing will stay the same. I mean, the basic state for Shadowburn is that the mob is below 20% health. You know, it's not a huge thing to work out.
It's not rocket science.
Also, obviously, you need to set up things like you only want this to happen when you're playing a warlock. You only want this to happen when the warlock's playing destruction. You may not want it to come up if there's not less than two burning embers. I mean, there's all sorts of other things that you can set in there. I was talking to Strumpet, and Strumpet has listened, I think, either to the latest Bitter and Salty or the one prior to that, and I haven't as yet. And they were recommending, Molson was recommending, a thing called Tell Me When.
Okay.
Another add-on.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that one.
Which allows you, have you used that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Well, it's a, did you say, oh, you hadn't heard of it?
I have heard of it. I haven't used it.
Oh, haven't. Yeah. Okay.
I don't use any proc timers at all, to be honest. That's how much of it, you're looking up to me as the masterclass dude. I'm so much the use whatever comes by default. I'm sure that by using a lot more of these add-ons, I could get a lot more maximizing DPS. But I guess because I play a healer so much, maybe they're not as applicable.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, but also I think I can understand getting dependent on these add-ons to a certain degree, and you lose a wee bit of the muscle memory, because I guess you're hitting things knowing the health is at a certain level. I mean, you're making those decisions and not being prompted.
That's
right. So ingrained in you is the ability to be able to time stuff, whereas this takes that away from you. So I guess there is horses for courses, and it depends on the type of person. I need something to slap me in the mouth and say Shadowburn. this has to happen.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. That you want something like that. For example, just even when I'm just out questing on my druid, and you get the or even healing, actually, probably even more so when you're healing, and you get the clear casting buff, which makes your next spell free of mana. So you use a big mana intensive heal, and it's not going to cost you anything. It's just being able to detect that and maximize the use of that. If there's a lot going on the screen, you don't notice that.
I found out that I'm much more sound sensitive than I am visual sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, as soon as I hear these noises go off, and I've been playing, well, that's not actually far away from my Shadowburn noise. But originally, of course, I was doing all sorts of stupid noises, which weren't helping me at all, because everything was burping and farting and being a bit of a mess. Yeah, so that was I like this Tell Me When. This is quite cool. It just basically tells me when my soul stone needs redoing, and tells me that I can use Dark Soul Instability and the other couple of things that I can do, such as the Dark Intent. Just gives me a timer, which is very high up on the screen, nice and big.
Awesome. So basically, you're moving to a point where you can remove Spell Flash. You're not going to need Spell Flash.
Yeah.
I'm basically the goal.
Close to doing that. I would like to move Spell Flash. I don't. because it's distracting to a certain degree. But one thing I found out, which I hadn't known, and this really is probably why I'm a noob, is I didn't understand that as far as Rain of Fire goes, you can set it and then move.
Yeah, so for destruction, Rain of Fire isn't channeled. It's an instant.
I wish I'd known that in the dungeons. Because I was like, I have to stand here and wait for it to channel. Like, because I'm thinking like a mage. The only time I've ever done anything like that is Blizzard and stuff like that with Mage. Or Ice, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And had to stand there and get slapped. And especially when we were doing all the things that I'm now facing, which I hadn't faced in the world, which is things like that water spout that was coming round and foamy in the air. And
trying to cast while you're moving. Things.
Yeah, all the
not
crap.
Not too many instants before you get to 90.
No, so it's very annoying. Very annoying. But I didn't know that before. But now I know. It's fantastic. Awesome. I place it and I run around and I carry on doing the stuff I want to do.
I probably should have mentioned that.
Yeah, it was quite a biggie. Quite a biggie, but it's done now.
What probably should have given it away for you is that Spellflash was telling you to cast that and an Incinerate. Well, that's because one of them's an instant.
Yeah,
and I'll give you a tip. It's not the Incinerate.
I was like... Why? And that's what I was saying earlier. I just can't understand. Why is it telling me to do both? I can't do both. Because as soon as I move to do the Incinerate, it's going to stop the Rain of Fire. Which, of course, it doesn't do. Yeah. So, anyway. But it certainly added another arrow to my quiver, which is very useful. I would say the upshot going forward is that I'm now convinced of my joy of playing the Destruction Warlock.
Yay!
And I think I'm 90, maybe 80% there as far as enjoying my UI and having a UI which I'm going to be able to use functionally in a dungeon. Sadly, because I was messing with the UI, we didn't do another dungeon this week.
No, so we left it. So that his goal was to get to 87, and by the time I logged in next, he was already 87. I'm like, slow down, dude. You can be 90 before we record.
If I'd carried on questing, I would be 90 now, I reckon.
Yeah, I've no doubt. So I'm kind of glad that you had all those problems with your UI and had to slow down. It would be good if you can get to 89 reasonably quickly, and then we can run some Core and Diabrew before Brewfest finishes.
Yeah, I'll try and do that. It's good this week because Clan of Darkness, the guild Kushti's in, is running a competition. What kind of competition?
Yes.
Donnie is running a, we'll give you gold if you're in the top 25
activity for the week.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to be in that list at least once.
Seriously, considered
several times.
Pulling out one of my tunes and sticking in Clan of Darkness for the week.
Yeah, I mean, people are already shooting ahead because it kicked off after server yesterday.
The server reset yesterday, yeah.
I'll see how that goes. I'm not going to do things that I don't want to do in order to do that.
Oh, I'm sure you've got some other Destruction Warlocks you could level up.
Well, this is the other thing, of course. Foolishly, anybody who listened to Core will remember I went ahead and did another Recruiter Friend and started with two mages, getting them up only up to 56. They'd just been sat on 56 for the last month and a chunk, and then was distracted by other things, which happens a lot with recent Recruiter Friends. I get distracted. And the last month is about to kick in. It's about 3 days' time. I think I've got a month left after that. And so I'm seriously thinking of doing another couple of warlocks and making them destruction. Because how cool are they?
Excellent.
And it isn't. The goal of the Recruit Friend wasn't ever necessarily to create a whole new set of characters. We've got enough damn characters already. What it was to do is to be able to easily create a monk, Panther monk,
by
using the Recruit Friend bonus levels. Because I can't be asked going through the whole process of leveling a monk. But I'll happily start at 80 and see how that goes. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So there's certainly plenty to be doing.
Enjoy. Great.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to running some Shadowpan Monastery with you and watching you cast Rain of Fire and Incinerate all at the same time.
Is it see, this is why it's so cool. Is it Incinerate that gives you the 50% extra on Rain of Fire, or is it Immolate? It's one of those.
I forget. I'd have to play my walk a bit more.
Yeah, one of them boosts. That's why I find the whole thing fascinating, because I used to sit looking at that spell book and think, Yeah, you know, I read the first line. It shoots stuff. Yeah, okay. And then at the bottom, there's all this other stuff that's saying, well, if you do this and then
blah,
this
blah,
and then
blah,
this.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, what's all that rubbish? I don't care. But now I'm going through that spell book, and I'm even when I'm not actually in game, I've got the iPad and I'm going through the Wowhead, looking at each individual spell and looking at the comments and seeing how they combine. And you know, one thing I really want to get my head round, and we'll talk about this maybe next week when I get a little bit more understanding, is the whole using Havoc.
Oh yeah,
because I've watched a few videos of people doing it on a training dummy, and it's cool. It looks really cool, especially when you can send two Chaos Bolts, one at the main target and one at the target you put Havoc on.
Yep.
And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you can knock some stuff down pretty darn quick doing that stuff.
Well, the whole joy of being able to have Havoc on the boss and then be able to use Shadowburn on a less than 20% add,
yep,
but still get the full benefit of Shadowburn on the boss.
Bonus. Oh, well, I'm expecting that your DPS in the next dungeon we do is going to be somewhat higher than previous attempts.
Well, let's hope so. It'll be interesting to... I mean, it's like a petting zoo when you go out into the world and kill stuff. You don't have tons going on. You can pick and choose your mobs. You can step back, take a pause, have a rethink, and then go and attack another mob.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different scenario, obviously. But at the same time, hopefully... given the amount of muscle memory that I'm hoping to build up over the next few days before we do another dungeon, should be seeing some DPS increase, particularly right. Since
I'll be doing another one once we finish recording this in a few days.
Stroll on. After I'm recording this, I'm going to sleep. Anyway, so that's Noob to Elite.
Great. Excited to see what's coming.
Yeah, me too.
And now it's time for news, blues, and views.
So our news, blues, and views for this week. So I picked out there's a whole bunch of news, actually, but a lot of it's been covered elsewhere, and people don't want to listen to same news stories being covered everywhere. I picked out this particular tweet. Somebody tweeted Ghostcrawler and said, wondered if you've ever considered account-wide professions. With alt so prevalent, is the 2 per character limit still useful? And Greg replied, would love to see more discussion on this topic from players. Alts are cool, I agree with that, but alts just to get around the profession limit bug me. And I went, interesting comment. So... Is he saying that he doesn't like it if we just roll and level an alt because I want to have a blacksmith?
That's what it seems like.
Discouraging that. And I thought, well, yeah, I guess actually they are discouraging that because you have a look at 5.4, for example, and in order to get the blacksmithing or tailoring or any of those patterns, you actually have to take that dude out into the world and kill stuff.
Mm.
You know, you can't just do a recruit a friend, get a tune up to 80, and then level a profession on him and use him as this awesome way to make gold with all the latest and greatest gear and feeding him stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, clearly they don't want you to have alts just for the sake of being able to cover all the professions. If you've got...
The discouraging started. I mean, if you think of Motes of Harmony and how much annoyance that gave us when we first started looking at it.
Yeah. So I guess...
And saying that you're going to have to go out and about and get your motes in order to be able to progress.
Yeah. So now we know why. You know, they had really no... Right from 5.0, there was cries of, please make these account-wide. And now we kind of... It's a bit of an insight into a world why no, that's not going to happen.
I can understand. They've always, not discouraged, but they've never really focused on things like auction housing and people who just want to make gold in the game. They've they've not actively discouraged it, of course not, but they've...
They haven't encouraged it either, yeah.
No, I mean, they set a gold cap, which is relatively hard even in this day and age to reach, but they don't give you anything for it. There's no achievement.
Yeah, no achievement for it. I mean, really.
Yeah, which you'd kind of think there would be, really.
Yeah. It's achievement for every other little thing in the game.
Exactly. So I can see their disinterest, but I don't understand why. Because I would say that there are a limited number of people that would necessarily want to get... I mean, they do give you achievements for getting all the professions to 600.
That's true, yep.
So it's an interesting one. As far as going account-wide with professions, I can see that not being a great thing that they'd want to do.
Yeah, and I don't see that as a good solution. I mean, I think they need to change something with the two profession limit, but I don't think going account-wide is the right solution.
Well, you'd have somebody level an enchanter or whatever happened to be the big money maker at the time, and then just stick it on all their alts. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
If you could, particularly when they gate you with these professions by saying you can only do certain cooldowns, you know, there's cooldowns and you can only do certain things once a day.
Yeah. You can only level them to some particular point until you get higher in your character's level.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't have a level 600 tailor that's a level 1 alt.
Yeah. So I could see them having all sorts of issues with that, and I can't imagine that ever happening. But they said, we've talked about this last week, and they certainly need to sort professions out. There's certainly a need for focus on professions.
Yeah, be interesting to see, because I mean they're pretty good at that, coming up with new ideas, new ways of doing things. And so I don't know if they've got a suggestions board out there that people are submitting to, but I've no doubt that 6.0 will turn up with some shiny new profession stuff that'll be interesting and fun to do.
I've always thought it would be a good idea to allow you to retrain. So instead, because what the biggest nightmare in the world is when you suddenly decide, like for instance, you've gone inscription, you've got to 600, and you realise that it's a complete dodo, and that you basically wasted the profession slot.
What?
So you arm, and inscription, it's not hard to level, but it is a pain in the ass to level.
It's a pain in the ass. It really is.
Yeah. So you said to yourself, well, I'll go and do blacksmithing. You go along to your guy and get rid of your inscription, and he says, oh, you got 1 in blacksmithing. You're like, really? So I've got 600 again. Okay. Whereas I think it would be nice to be able to go through a series of either quests, like you used to do for the different engineering skills.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
The different, like the armor types. And no, you could go weapons or you could go armor. There's, you know, there's a few of those things in the past.
And the alchemy specialization.
Well, exactly, yeah. Yeah. And you can then reset. You get to the point and say, oh, well, I need to go, you know, transmute instead, and you go through a process of retraining. That would be quite cool.
Yeah.
Because you've put in the effort. You've got to 600 in a profession. It's not like you're going to get a third profession because you're going to have to give one up. You just happen to want to change. And it shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be that you could just walk in, pay your 10 gold, and bang, you're suddenly a 600 alchemist or a 600 level worker. You need to go through several steps to do that. I think that would be fine. I don't see why not.
Well, you better send them that suggestion and make sure it's in 6.0 for us.
Listen, if they're not listening to the podcast, sod them.
True. Good point. Of course they're listening, because they listen to my QQ about the engineering pets that they added to 5.4, didn't they? And my big QQ about that. And I said, they need to fix this because my engineer's on the other account. And lo and behold, what turns up? Into the forums. Oh, have we got... Did Leda do an into the forums? I'm not sure. This is the into the forums bit. Look at that. Just slid into it. It was seamless.
It's very good.
Mm.
You can hardly see the join.
So there was a forum post this week where they announced a hot fix that came into the game, and the Pierre and the Rascal bot are no longer bind on pickup. They can be caged, and you can collect 3 of them like all the other pets. So I gave a big woohoo, because now I can not have to worry about having to level an engineer on my other account.
Yeah, actually, I think that's what made them
make
that decision when they heard that you're going to try and level another engineer.
They said, oh, the show's going to level another engineer. We better change this.
That's just crazy to me.
But what was rather amusing about this forum post was there was a big positive yay post, and there was a couple of other changes, like the Rascalbot's phaser spell is a one round ability that they're changing that as well. There was a change to the Jadefire Spirit Fade ability. But anyway, this forum post completely devolved into a big queuing over bonkers. Oh, I've got all these bonkers. When are you going to make it so that bonkers can be caged and sell these? I need to. I'm out there. I'm getting all these repair bills from the Timeless Isle, and I need to make gold. And why can't I cage my bonkers? And it's like, they can't. You know, you try to announce one fun thing, and you know, give an inch, take a mile.
Yeah, it was, they want the moon on the stick, don't they?
It was really funny how quickly it devolved into a big QQ session over that. And the you reckon that there's forum post QQing over class and balances and the balancing act that they have to do for classes. I tell you what, dude, the people that are into pet battles are even more passionate about balance and stuff with pet battles than they are with their own classes. Oh my god. It's like,
These are the real min-maxes, the real OCPs.
Yeah. It's like, eight round cooldown of Jade Fire Spirit. Oh, that's just ridiculous.
What are you doing to me, Blizzard?
I quit. I said, I'm not playing this game ever again. So, yes.
There's a certain level of crazy in the pet battle world.
I mean, I knew people were like really keen into pet battles, and you figure it was about collecting and leveling and that sort of stuff. But to have that same level of crazy ass min-maxer balance class, you know, abilities in the pets, even more so than their actual class, it's just like, I found that rather amusing.
But the thing is, of course, they're now facing up to the Celestial Tournament, where things are not as clear cut as they may have been out in the world. Or other things, and people are not managing to do it and getting incredibly frustrated.
Yeah,
and they're looking at their different pets and thinking, if this was just a 6-round cooldown, I'd have done that.
Yeah, that's right.
Or whatever. So I guess they are now faced up to having to win max and stuff.
But I wanted a challenge. I mean, I'm glad that the Celestial Tournament wasn't a waltz in, one shot at, go yay and walk away. You know, I wanted that real challenge there. And to have to think about it and put together good teams.
And there doesn't seem to be as yet any, because what seemed to happen is as new pet battles were introduced and new stuff was having to be fought, it would very quickly, there would be a perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it would be up on the internet and you would say this and this, cast that.
Like there's a NPC, Little Tommy, that's right beside the Celestial Trainer, and he's got a little Undaster you have to fight, who's got a couple of crazy ass tricks up his sleeve, and it was pretty quick before a pet team that came out that said, you just need these two pets and you can have a third one as your leveler, and it pretty much works every time. Yeah, sometimes you get unlucky and it fails, but for the most part, it's solved. You just make sure you got these two pets and then that's it.
So have you seen the Little Rascal? Is it Little Rascal and Pierre? Have you seen them on the...
No.
I saw them on... See, when I was looking at transferring out of Airy Peak, because also as I move around from server to server, I'm taking gold with me.
Checking the auction house.
So I checked the auction house and there was Rascal Bot and Pierre. Pierre, by the way, is ugly. I don't know why anybody would want Pierre. But the Rascal Bot is stunningly... It looks like the bad robot, isn't it?
Bad robot. Did last.
Mm. And that looks fantastic. But I went on to the auction house because I'd gone over the ridiculously small cap of how much gold I could bring back. So annoying.
Isn't that really something that they need to adjust? I mean, they're encouraging, well, something encouraging. But I mean, there's so much prevalence now of people moving toons around from server to server. And you've got the massively increased gold cap of a million gold, and yet the amount of gold that you can move with character from server to server is ridiculously small. I mean, that's a week's worth of repairs out in the Timeless Isle.
Yeah, not far off. So I was. It is very frustrating. I was annoyed by that. So I thought, well, I might as well just buy some pets because there had been several new pets in 5.4, and then take those with me. You know, fill the slots with some pets. And I'd already bought a few before I saw this Rascal Bot. Was like, I think it was like 60,000. I was like, no, dear, I've already gone. You know, I've already spent. I haven't got enough to buy it. And actually, when I got what I was doing as well was I was looking on Earthen Ring, the destination realm, to see I wasn't buying anything on Airy Peak that was cheap on Earthen Ring.
Yeah,
there's no point doing that. So yeah, well, I didn't want to make a profit. I just didn't, because I'm going to use them. I'm not going to sell them. I'm going to use them, but I just didn't want to get ripped off. I was going to buy them regardless. I just wanted to buy them for the cheapest price possible. So I did manage to buy a few new pets, and one of them including this nasty type little mini char thing, which leaves this train of gloop behind him as he goes everywhere.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. I haven't seen that one.
There's quite a few of those sort of Pandarian type spirit things. New ones of those, different colours and stuff. And
right, yeah.
There's a drunk one. And
I've seen a few of those around. Yep.
You know what time it is? That's right. It's Ask A&J.
Another fine intro from Lita. Thank you, Lita.
Rockin'.
What do we have in the Ask A&J mailbag this week?
We've got a question from a Twitter user, from a Twitter follower, Stevie2K. He actually asked us last week, and we've needed an entire week to think about it, and I've done nothing else but think about that this week. That's why I was distracted while I was trying to tank and heal you the other night. I was thinking about this question.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. That's not a very long question either. He simply asks, what is your best and worst moment in WoW?
Not long, but nice and deep.
Very deep. Wish we could do an entire podcast just on that.
We could do, and we probably are going to do another 2.5 hours. No, we're not. Do you want to kick off with your best moment?
All right, I'll kick off with my best moment. My best moment, I've decided, would have to be the moment that the Lich King didn't die.
Spoilers.
Spoilers, what? But we beat him. Yep. The weeks and weeks and weeks of getting better and better and better at that fight and seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, I'll tell you what, the adrenaline that was running through me as I was healing those last few seconds of that fight was just amazing. So for me, you know, definitely getting down the Lich King. That was, at that point, that was like the furthest I'd ever got in any raid tier in any expansion. And it was a pretty darn good feeling to get in.
How early into that final stage of the Cataclysm expansion did you do the Lich King?
It was pretty early. Lich King. Yeah, it was pretty early. It was before the maximum nerf buff thing came out. So, you know, we were bashing our heads against it. So this was the 10-man drunk with power raid team in AIE.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some bloody good players on that team. And, I don't know how many, somebody kept track of how many times we wiped. It was an embarrassingly large number of times. So
it's never really gotten that easy a fight either. It's not like it's a walkover going in. I mean, I suppose it is.
It's pretty easy now, but still, yeah, it's not a 3-second tank and spank like, you know, most fights are.
See, I didn't get to do it anywhere near level. I think I did it at 85 with a Clan of Darkness team. And I would have put that, actually, even though it wasn't in current content.
Are you going to put that down as your worst moment? Is that what you're going to say? Oh, sorry.
I would have happily put that as my best moment because it wasn't, it wasn't a walkover. We did wipe, not anywhere near as many times as you did at level, but three or four times, I think, maybe a wee bit more. And it was one of those things where Sonny just clicked. Everything worked well. It just seemed to flow.
Yeah.
And like you said, that you sudden tell. Exaltation.
Yeah.
That
it's a great buzz.
It's a damn fine moment.
Yeah.
And they do it, and it is incredibly, the mechanics of it, the actual scenario that kicks off, is done so well. Because, fortunately, I hadn't had it spoiled what was going to happen. Nobody said, nobody yelled out, "Don't release." But nobody had implicitly said, "This is what's going to happen."
Right.
So there was that sudden thing. We're so close. We're so, oh, what the?
I'm dead.
You know, unbelievable. Yeah. And then to everybody said, "Just listen, you know, we're going to be okay."
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an exaltation. And also running with people within the guild, you know, all, I think pretty much everywhere, everyone there except for Brewdog, who was leading it, hadn't done it. So it was great. Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
I mean, my, because you'd already taken that one, I decided that I'd have to go for another best moment. And I have to say, it's the first time I hit cap, which for me was level 70. As I mentioned before, I actually joined WoW just after the Burning Crusade expansion kicked off.
Yep.
And so I remember it was on the EU servers, and it was I was running around with members of a little guild that I'd set up, and it was some ridiculous time. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were 69 point whatever, 0.8, or, you know, all three of us were, the three of us that were questing together were close to dinging. I think I was out in Neverstorm.
Hellfire Peninsula?
It'd be nice. Yeah, no, you actually had to do all of the content in those days. And going through all the various quests and just getting closer and closer and closer. And it seems like you don't have that this now. You can actually jump from halfway into a level all the way to the end of the level relatively quickly. Whereas there, it was inching. The little bubbles were just inching along as each quest was handed in. And then just that moment where one of the guys dinged, and then I think I was second and then third, but it was within about 10 minutes of each other.
Nice.
And thinking, yeah, I know, multiple dings. And actually it was about 4 o'clock in the morning when it actually happened. And I was so exalted that I really wanted to go and wake the wife up and say,
guess what?
You won't believe what I've managed. Yeah, it was wonderful, just an absolute wonderful moment. Now, having dinged 80 and 85 and 90, you know, in subsequent expansions, there's always that nice feeling when you first do it, but it would never meet not that same feeling.
Yeah. You know, for the first 70. Yeah, my first 60 was like that.
Yeah,
and I think even because Burning Crusade was the first expansion, there still was that pretty big high and buzz around hitting level 70, and especially because we were all in AOE by then and doing the leveling process together, and it was, you know, there was lots of partying and congratulating going on for people that are hitting level cap. So yeah, there's some of the good, really good times.
Yeah, it's certainly taking the tarnish off, I think, you know, hitting the cap. It's not, it just doesn't feel the same.
No, it doesn't, does it? It's like, oh, beauty, another 90.
Yeah, it just rolls off now. It's a shame, really. But yeah, I still remember with fond memories that first 70.
Awesome. What about your worst memory?
Yeah, well, as I just said, I played in the EU pretty much all of Burning Crusade and onwards. And also I carried on playing in the EU while I'd already moved over to the US. So I was keeping both.
Accounts a palooza.
Yes. Yeah, there was loads of accounts. But there was a point where I had pretty much focused, I was focusing on the US. So I'd left my EU accounts alone and hadn't been back there. But I had started quite early on, actually, in my WoW career, focusing on making gold. You know, not tons and tons of it, but, you know, I'd got into the position where I was able to make lots of different types of weapons. Yeah, I was making money. And I set up a mini little business with another guy, and we were creating, I can't remember what it was some particular sword, that required, it was the one that sort of goes down, goes on your back. I don't know if you remember, I can't remember what it was called, but
no.
It was a ridiculous sword. And it was very well sought after, but it required some ridiculous mats, which meant going out to Silithus and doing all sorts of malarkey and messing about. And he'd go out and get a few of the mats, and I'd get a few of the mats, and then I'd use my skills in blacksmithing to make the sword, and then we'd sell the sword in the age, and we'd split the money, and we'd put the money into our sort of Bankholt's guild bank. This had been going on for quite a while, but I'd also had been making money elsewhere, selling bits and pieces on the auction house, doing other bits and pieces. I'd also been putting my own money in there, my own gold in the guild bank.
Yep.
So anyway, so I go off to the US. I'm not sure what inspired me to go back and check on the EU. I reactivated one of my accounts, went back, and that guild bank was empty.
Someone's pulled a jippy on you.
Somebody's got in. Yeah, so I think that's why subsequently I've robbed as many guild banks as I can. But yeah, so the entire chunk of gold, which I still haven't fully worked out how much it was, but it was in the 60,000 to 65,000 gold mark.
Ouch.
Which currently sounds like a tiny piss in the ocean. It sounds like a small amount. That's the sort of money I would happily have spent on that rascal bot, for instance. But at the time, when the cap was like 200,000, that was a chunk of change. So I immediately think, oh, well, something's happened. We've been hacked. There's something gone on. So I contact Blizzard and say the account's been hacked. Somebody's obviously got in there and stripped off the guild bank. And I get a reply back sometime later saying, no,
sorry, old chap.
You gave rights to such an individual, and they've legitimately taken money out of your shared guild bank. They had the rights to do that. Not much we can do about that, sorry. So this friend, and I use quotation marks around it,
massively air quotes around that,
had robbed me blind. Had stitched me up like a kipper. So so that was certainly one of my worst moments. And that sinking feeling when you go into the guild bank and you say, 16 silver. I'm sure there was more than 16 silver. and then you go into the log and you see chunks of money being taken out. And you're thinking, what? And then you go and check a few other guild banks. Like, maybe I moved it to another guild bank. Maybe it's on one of my characters. You go and check all the different characters. And then the slow rising, vomity feeling as you begin to realize that, no, you've been robbed. You've been done over.
Mm.
So yeah, that was certainly one of my worst moments. Not only was it a personal loss of the gold, which I would have then used, I think, but also somebody you trust, a game friend. It's quite hard to, you know, and I was all for, and I still am all for, the idea that virtual relationships can be as strong as real life relationships. There's no reason just because you haven't physically shared the same air with someone that you can't build up a strong friendship
for sure
with them. And therefore, unfortunately, what happens then, of course, is you put the same friendship as you would, the same level of trust as you would with that person, as you would with somebody who in real life you'd go around and smack in the mouth if they messed you about. Yeah, so I was very shocked by that. It pretty much ended any thoughts of me ever going back to the EU. I still have those accounts sort of frozen, but...
You know. All worked out well for us then.
It did. And actually, I should have never really been trying to dual focus on two different continents. I should have been focusing on one, because I was finding myself split not only between EU and the US, but also between Horde and Alliance, and also between several different types of server. So in the end, it actually worked out.
During maintenance. Isn't that what that account's there for?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, when their maintenance kicked off at 2:30 a.m. PST on this last Tuesday,
that was a bit rude, wasn't it?
Hey, what's all that about? That's like, that was 10:30 my time.
Hmm.
At 10:30 a.m. So I was like, just sod that. I'm going back to the EU. I didn't, though.
You buggers.
How about yourself?
I've really struggled to come up with a worst memory for WoW. I'd have to say that probably the saddest memory would have to be the... death, the loss of several, I'll call them friends. Yeah, as you say, yeah, they're not real world relationships. They're online relationships. But they're real relationships and people that you've spent time with. And you lose them. They're gone. And yeah, you never saw it coming. And sadly, because AIE is such a massive guild and there's so many people in it, unfortunately, that means that the chances are kind of greatly increased that you are going to lose members. That has happened time and time again. And that's always a pretty sinking feeling to think of this. Yeah, somebody that I was just hanging out with the other day and now they're gone.
Yeah. It is part of that whole virtual relationships being strong.
Yeah.
But I don't. I sometimes worry more. It's awful, obviously, when you played with somebody and spent some time with them in game, and they pass away. But some people just fade away, and I just you don't know. I've heard a lot of times when somebody has died, and it's taken one of their relatives or somebody that knew them, not just in game but also outside the game, to let other people know.
Yeah.
But there's so many people who their relatives would not even think about letting their virtual friends know. Or even know how to, exactly.
Yeah, it was just a game that they were playing, that's...
Yeah. Nothing more. I'm lots of people over the years have written into Control at WoW. They're regular contributors, and then just disappear. Don't hear from them again.
Yeah.
There's no... they're not necessarily using any of the other social media. They're not using Twitter or Facebook, so they don't have anything to look at as far as clues go.
Yeah, and you don't know. Yeah. Are they still okay, or did they just stop playing or listening? Or
yeah,
we'll never know.
But yeah, I can certainly see that being a particularly worst moment, and sadly one that doesn't happen once. See, I feel petty now talking about gold. Like, wow. So the dude lost 60,000. I've lost friends. Okay. But that was a good question. Thank you for that, Stevie 2K, Mr. Very Jones. Good.
Yes.
I'm sorry you didn't. He was actually somebody who was entered into the draw for the Hearthstone beta and sadly didn't win on the second roll either. But
I would have loved to give one to everybody that entered, but
mostly everyone. Yes. There's a few douchebags out there that don't deserve anything.
We're just not in it for the right reasons, but there you go. Never mind.
Anyway, so we won't leave on a low.
No, let's leave on a high, because we've got an audio from Lita.
Yay, lovely Lita.
Let's have a listen to that.
Hello, Asheo and Jeppy. This is Lita. Hi. Just wanted to say I am loving the new show and wanted to send a little email in to tell you that. So yay, loving it, enjoying it, learning lots. In episode 3, Asheo spoke about the world bosses and how he thought that the gear would be better scaled, that as we get higher in eye level that it could drop better gear for eye levels, and I really liked that idea. And then as I was thinking about it, I thought, well, wouldn't it also be awesome to have all of the raids and the dungeons over the years to also scale to do the same thing? So I was thinking of typically Karazhan or Molten Core, that how much fun would it be to walk in there as a level 90 and have 10 people go into Karazhan and have it scaled to our abilities now with our gearing and our eye levels, and then to also drop the loot. I know it's old content, but they could revitalize it so much with bringing things up to date. I know the first time I walked into Molten Core and as a 40-man raid, it blew my mind because I'd never done anything quite like that before. But how much fun would it be to not necessarily get 40 people, because sometimes it's very hard to get 10, but to have that have that twinked to have the level 90s go in there, 10 level 90s, and to make it a challenge and to drop some loot that would be relevant to our levels and our specs now. I'm sure Blizzard would probably have a absolute fit about it, because the amount of work I'm sure that goes into, you know, just even redesigning a few eye levels and stats and everything must be immensely time-consuming work. But for the content that we used to do, to see that a lot of people don't go back into those places now, only for solo killing, for achievements, for more solo play than to do it as a team or with some friends, I think it would be, or it would at least open up a whole new perspective to the game. Even if it wasn't necessarily every single solitary dungeon and raid that is available, but if they took, you know, maybe a handful or two over the last, what, four expansions, and just made something that it can be utilized, I think it would certainly open up and people could go back and see not only the beautiful looking artwork that's inside these places, the fun that you have in there. The first time I walked into Karazhan and saw, you know, Achaemenid, and was like, oh my goodness, this, you know, this hot, fiery looking horse. Or the first time that I went into Serpent Shrine and it was like, wow, look how big these places are. It just, to me, might open up the game so much more for a lot of people. And as you said about completing things, I mean, I haven't even done Galleon. I think I might have been slightly a bit busy doing pet battles. I know. It's an obsession, boys. I know. I just love it so much. But, you know, it's hard to get people to go and do those things, or with time zones, etc., it can be hard to get on at the right time. But anyway, that was just a thought that I'd had after I heard episode 3, and I thought I just wanted to share it. So I'd love to know what you guys think about that idea of scaling, you know, dungeons and raids. And thanks again, guys, for the great show. I'm really enjoying it. And I look forward to much, much more. Okay, bye.
Well, thank you, Lita.
Thanks, Lita. That's a splendid idea. And I rather suspect, I don't want to make too many assumptions, but you have a bit of a think about the technology that Blizzard have put into 5.4 with flex rating. I would guess that that same technology could be used to rescale older dungeons.
Yeah. I don't know how far they're going to go, because I know that they're going to do it slowly, aren't they? They're going to kind of move backwards. Is that right? They're
not going to. Well, I mean, at the moment they haven't announced anything, any rolling backwards at all. I mean, it's flex is purely the Siege of Orgrimmar raid, but and obviously new raids into the next expansion you'd expect to be the same. But I would think that in terms of reusing old content, you know, what better way to, you know, pick something that's like really old now that people haven't been in for ages, like, you know, Blackwing Lair or something, and use their flex technology to make it so that people can go in there and actually, you know, raid that as a challenge.
Because I think they actually did mention that when they were talking about flex before it was introduced, that it would not be limited to Siege of Orgrimmar.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I remember reading that somewhere, that people had asked, well, does that mean every dungeon will, you know, every raid will be able to be flexible. And they said not initially. It's obviously going to be focused on the new content because that's right. the one they were working on. I think there was quite a consensus that they would go back and look at other raids. Now, how far back they'll go.
Yeah, so just missed the Pandaria raids or the whole game.
I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. And later, get out, do Galleon. I mean, seriously? Seriously?
Later? Pet battles? Come on.
That's the way
to go. Things. But it certainly tackles the idea of being able to go back and do old content, not just for the completionist, but also to actually gain gear.
Yeah.
Shall we go?
Yeah. People love new ways to get gear.
Yep.
You know what?
What?
I think that's our show.
Wow. It's been a good one.
It has. I've enjoyed tonight. So much so that I think I should go and celebrate with some Wing 2 flexing in Siege of Orgrimmar, or LFRing, actually. It'll be LFR tonight, I think. Yeah. Want to join me? Well, you got a 90?
No. I've got a 90, but sadly... Teasing. Sadly, not at 496. There you go. Otherwise, I'd be there. No messing about.
Sure you would be.
So, time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. And we need to yell, four!
You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at Asheo and at LJeppy. Or if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us. wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both. Upload complete.